Deb. Dark is forever. Light flashes in the dark, but is not constant, and dark always returns, holding everything within it. The universe is dark, peppered with flashes made by stars and reflected by moons and planets. Day exists only when our part of the planet faces our sun, and then in the night we return to the dark of the universe. This poem has made me think about dark like that in a way that maybe I haven't before, that it's the light that is temporary within the nest of the dark. I suspect I've never thought about it like that because of the human desire to always turn toward the light. But so many of the creation myths say that the dark was here first. The first few lines of Genesis say, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the edge of the waters, and God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was." The Egyptian Book of the Dead says that the world appeared as an expanse of dark and directionless waters, personified by four pairs of male and female deities. The Greek and Roman creation stories begin in dark, silent abyss. And so many other creation stories from cultures indigenous to North America and Africa in which the earth or the people began in darkness. So light was created or arose from dark, much as we humans and all other mammals are born out of the dark of the womb. So light is a creation, and dark is that from which the creation emerges. I find that really useful to think about this morning as autumn has so dramatically presented itself. As we tip past the moment of balance into the season in which the time of darkness will stay longer than the time of light, until we come again to the longest night of the winter solstice. I also remember that there is cause for gratitude and celebration that is part of our movement into the dark time. It is not all gray and dreary. Many pagans and others who worship in earth-centered traditions are marking the middle of the harvest right now, which in our part of the world means the last of this year's tomatoes and sweet corn and apples and kale and garlic and sunflower seeds and squashes. I have been roasting things like you would not believe these days. This is a time of reaping what we have sown, of giving thanks for the bounty the earth provides. There will be even more squashes and fall greens and pumpkins before the harvest season is over, even as daylight wanes and the nights start to get cold. And I remember, too, that during this time of movement to dark and celebration of what we've harvested during the light comes this one moment of balance. The equinox is a tipping point. The moment of balance both before and after the disequilibrium that is the way of almost all time. Remember how this felt? While you were focusing on your finger and that stick, what was the rest of your body doing? Was it still? What I noticed, even now, what I'm noticing is that all of the muscles in my body are moving ever so slightly, especially the little ones in here. Tiny movements and corrections, right? Focusing on keeping this stick still. This feels like the equinox to me. It honors the balance of day and night, but it also celebrates the way this balance is a combination of all kinds of little movements. It's a reminder that still points are rarely still. they're a place of turning, of change, where shifts happen and new things emerge. When I think about it that way, I think of balance as not simply a destination, but a place of invitation. Not so much a static space of peace, as much as a still point, a fulcrum on which we pivot and then turn to something new. It's maybe less of a state of being that I can achieve and hold for a long period of time, and more as a moment, or maybe a set of moments between tipping into various kinds of imbalance. One of the yoga teachers in my life used to say in our classes that we seek moments of balance between the times of tipping over. This is definitely true for me in the physical practice of yoga. Every posture I try to hold in my practice involves lots of movements. Sometimes large ones, right, like this, and sometimes just really little ones, like the ones working the muscles of my calf right now as I stand on one leg, which you can't see. But I'm only aware of the tension in my muscles and my joints causing movement. Balance feels maybe kind of like the average of those movements. This is true in my life off the yoga mat as well. My life is made up of short times of balance between my tipping into periods of work and play. Whoa, here I am at worship. And here I am walking my dog in the woods. And here's a wedding to officiate, and a class to attend, and dinner with a friend, and a workshop to lead, and a phone call with my kid. There are so many things happening in our lives. Deep personal transitions, births, illnesses, deaths, partnerings, separations, career development, job loss, moving, things that change how we understand ourselves and how we understand and feel the world. And things around us, happening in the lives of our friends and our neighbors, changing how we see them and respond to them. And things happening in our wider community and world. Violence and silencing and deportation and discrimination and love and compassion and support networks and resistance, all things that cause us to teeter among so many different possible responses. And we do so much in response, caring for ourselves and each other and working toward the possibility of a just world. All of these things we do are ways that we dip off center into the work or play of the movement, and that dipping is good, and it's right, and it's needed. Some of you know that I'm also doing physical therapy work to be able to strengthen muscles that help me live with an issue in my back that causes weakness and pain. And what I'm learning as I weave those exercises with my yoga practice is that when my core muscles are strong, it's easier to hold the rest of my body in moments of balance, in almost any position I try to take. And it's easier to control when and how I tip. I like to remember these physical practices as I continue to tip off center in my life and my work, so that when I move from one way to the other, I can try to engage my strong core, find that balance point in between, and breathe and collect myself for the next thing. I think about my faith tradition and this religious community, and how the values I learn and practice with you all create a sense of strength, perhaps core strength, and balance that allows me to see what work I might tip into next. So when I think about that fulcrum, that place where all is still for just a moment right here, before I lean into the next thing, I don't think so much about how much time I can spend right here in this balanced place, but how I can remember and draw on what I find there as I tip myself. So here we are, at the point in the wheel of the year where there is a moment of balance between times. This fulcrum is a good time to reflect on the times we are tipping into collectively. It is election season in our country. None of us can help but be impacted by how the political divide is playing out. We have been talking about that divide for years, and it gets wider and uglier all the time. It's fanned by leaders and would-be leaders, but it's also alive and well among those of us who are simply trying to live. Some of the people in power in our nation, and some of those who want more power, or to cling to the power afforded them by our extractive, capitalist, misogynistic, heteronormative white supremacy culture, believe that the marginalized should stay that way, or go back to being that way, putting the livelihoods and the lives of women and immigrants, people of color, queer people and transgender and gender expansive people, disabled people, people living in poverty, others at risk. And in our global community, we're witnessing, and our tax dollars are funding, war, genocide, colonization, and militarism are still the machines of the dominant culture. Our climate has changed significantly due to human impact on our natural systems. There are fires and floods and storms and shifts in growing seasons across the planet that requires humans and all beings to adapt in significant ways. We have plenty of disequilibrium around us. And amidst that disequilibrium, it is good to remember, in this moment of balance, in this tipping point, that we also have a strong core, and we are practiced at tipping. That balance is a moment between times of equilibrium, and its invitation is to focus less on trying to stay balanced and more to spend time and energy learning to tip into the disequilibrium. I do not at all mean to say that we should just resign ourselves to how this is going to be. What I do mean to say is that if we're going to stay resilient and focused on creating the world of love and justice, we need to be able to function through all of the movements that are happening within and around us. We need to be nourished by those moments of balance that we create as we tip between them. We create those moments of balance by engaging in the spiritual practices that strengthen our core, like grounding in our values, like worshiping and eating and playing together, like learning and working together to create peace and justice. Adrienne Marie Brown also writes, "In the dark, I see dreams, and the long distance between the constant fire I yearn to be and the brief flashes I can pull off." So I am looking forward to spending some time in the dark. Darkness is better for rest, right? After the season of full-on growing and doing and going and festivaling. Darkness gives us a space where we can grieve what we've lost or what we never had or what is happening around us, where we can breathe and gather that core strength. It gives us a backdrop for the brief flashes we can pull off. We can see them in the dark. It's a way to notice each small way we are able to live and able to thrive and make it so others can do so in this wounded and divided world. A starting point for us to imagine new ways of being. Grow in the dark. I come back often to the metaphor that I've heard from the Sikh activist author and civil rights lawyer Valerie Kaur. She says, what if this time isn't the darkness of the tomb, but the darkness of the womb? The invitation, as we tip into darkness, is to notice and value the brief flashes that we can pull off as we work toward building the constant fire that is the world we want to make. Darkness is needed for renewal in the soil and in our souls. And if this is not the time for getting ready for a rebirth, I do not know what is. I want to offer us a piece we often read during our winter solstice celebration in closing from Julie Middleton. What do we do in the dark? We go deep within ourselves in the dark. We look at our lives in the dark. We look at our paths in the dark. We look at our hopes and fears in the dark. What happens in the dark? Seeds grow in the dark. Babies grow in the dark. We rest in the dark. We get ready. Do we fear the darkness? No. We glory in the darkness. We dream in the darkness. We are made whole in the darkness. May it be so. And may we be so.